Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Beautiful people to Living in the Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah Johnson on Life Conversations Radio Network. I'm Celeste Morgan, and it is my honor to open up this sacred space with Check Your Intentions, sung by the lovely Cynthia James. You can find more of her phenomenal music at cynthiajames.net. Now, for the month of June, Reverend D has been taking us on an amazing journey discussing spiritual qualities like faith, peace, and tonight, she wants to check on your intentions. So what is the deepest intent for your life? So family, without further ado, please welcome Reverend Dr. Deborah Johnson for some spiritual truth you can use. Hello, Reverend D. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing exquisitely well, and yourself?
You know what? I'm feeling at peace just hearing your voice. I am not old enough to have experienced fireside chats, but that's what Tuesday nights feel like to me. Mm-hmm. It's the closest I'm going to get to it, so thank you for saying yes and helping us to live in a yes.
Well, thank you, and I certainly do appreciate it. I've always loved the show, and I love your audience, and I want to encourage people to call in. Don't be afraid if there's a comment or a question, because I guarantee you that if it's on your mind, it's on somebody else's mind, and that's one of the things that I hold really near and dear, that if your spiritual path doesn't allow you to question, maybe you need another path. Because, you know, my God always says, prove me, that we do have the opportunity to, you know, ask and to challenge and to wrestle with things until they resonate deep within our soul.
Now, that's a powerful statement. I'm going to throw out the first question then, Reverend D. So when it comes to the state of women in the church, when some people still want us to be silent, how do we check our intentions on when to stay silent and when to speak up?
Well, the church is a man-made concept. And personally, you know, I grew up very Christian. I grew up in the Church of God in Christ, very fundamentalist, evangelical, charismatic Pentecostal. Sometimes I call it the jumbo pack. And I think that we have too much stuff, a religion about Jesus as opposed to the religion of Jesus. Jesus was not requiring the women to be silent. That was not on his agenda. And, you know, he seemed to treat everybody pretty fairly. And not only were women not supposed to be silent, but if you read the biblical stories, to whom does he appear after the resurrection to be the one to spread the word about his resurrection? A woman. So if it's good enough for Jesus to be the one to spread the good news, it's good enough for me.
Thank you for that.
Anything else is a bunch of bias and prejudice. You know, my name is Deborah. Deborah is a Hebrew name. Deborah was anything but quiet. Deborah was a prophet. Deborah was a judge. Deborah was a general. And this whole notion about women are supposed to be quiet, well, I don't know. Deborah sure wasn't in the Bible. It wasn't her job to be quiet. Even Jesus said, don't even let the children be quiet. Even the children have a place. God didn't intend for anybody to be quiet. God gave us all voices. God gave us all powers and dreams. God filled every heart with an ache, with a yearn to dance, to play, to love, to create, to connect, to love, to praise. That's equally in every heart. Anything else is oppression.
I'm letting that sit in my bones. Thank you for that. I needed to hear that message. I also want to let the people know who are listening that Reverend B is serious about you joining her in conversation. If you have a question or a comment, the call-in number is 347-426-3346. And don't forget to press 1 on your keypad. Now, Reverend B, can you lay down the foundation for us about what intention means coming from your experience and what you've learned in the world and in on your spirit walk?
Yes.
Thank you.
I have a series out called Letters from the Infinite. And in this series are prophetic works. They're literally letters that I get that are first spoken and then transcribed. They appear now in 2 volumes published by Sounds True. The second volume is actually called Your Deepest Intent. And I'm going to read a little bit from the very first section, the preface of this, because I think that it speaks to it so well. One of the things that I love about the Spirit Letters is that it helps us to distinguish between the sort of spiritual connotation of the words that we use versus the secular. Unfortunately, English is really not a language of the spirit. We don't have words to really describe the spiritual journey. So we're recycling the same words, but quite often with very different meanings. For example, the word surrender in the secular world means to give up in defeat. Surrender in the spiritual is not to give up in defeat. Quite the contrary. It's to stop fighting because you know nothing's against you. You know, it's very, very different. So there's often a lot of clarifications that come first to make sure that we know, you know, this experience, I'm not talking about this other thing that you would ordinarily think of. So let's just put that aside so we can clean out for you to hear what I really need to hear. This is kind of in the middle of this letter. And it references one of my favorite letters in the first volume. The first volume is called The Sacred Yes. It says, in the letter entitled Miracles in the Sacred Yes, I began by saying, quote, a miracle is where your deep intent meets my inexhaustible supply. I'm going to say that again. A miracle is where your deep intent meets my inexhaustible supply. Notice who brings what to the equation. The first volume, The Sacred Yes, speaks greatly of my inexhaustible supply. This volume, To Your Deepest Intent, helps to clarify how you can show up in life with greater degrees of intent. So-called miracles are an everyday occurrence. People are waiting for things to happen. You are the happening. This book will help you to understand how to be a miracle, not just receive one. Be the miracle that you are. I am the inexhaustible supply. Come to me in earnest with your deepest intent to be a place of pure possibility. Perhaps one of the most important things for all of you to understand is the concept of intent. I use the word intent and not intention because it carries more of a sense of action. The word intend is a verb and thus an action word, yet it has a more diluted impact. In your society, when you say you intend to do something, you're acknowledging that there's also the possibility, perhaps even the probability, that you will not actually accomplish what you say you intend to do. Intent is not merely about goals. Intent is beyond objectives, plans, or strategies. Intent is beyond hopes and expectations. There is a tendency to objectify intention. However, intent resides in the depth of your soul. Understand what it is that I am saying here. Your intent is a place of integration. It is the place where your motives, fears, anxieties, possibility awareness, surrender in contrast to willfulness, desires, and determination all come into play. Do not confuse desire and intent. In desire, there's a longing. But the longing itself, if too intense, will convince you that desires of your heart are not possible. There may or may not be any commitment to bringing about the desires of your heart. However, intent is further down the continuum. By the time someone reaches a place of intent, there is a clarity about what one is co-creating in the world. I use the word co-creating because by the time people reach the place of intent, they realize that they are an important part of the unfoldment. They're not just sitting around waiting for something to happen. They understand that they are intricately a part of the process of the manifestation. Intent is phenomenally important, more important than you could ever imagine. Your intent arrives before you do. You could do something that outwardly appears to be the most generous of gestures. However, if your real motivation behind it is to manipulate, to control, to camouflage, or the like, it'll be felt. Furthermore, the generosity will not be perceived as genuine. It will not be received as a blessing, nor will you be blessed by it. Again, you may do something that turns out to have a completely opposite impact from what you have anticipated, or perhaps was even counterproductive. However, if your intent is pure, everything will turn out all right. Your intent concerns not simply what you plan to do, but why you plan to do it, how you plan to do it, with whom you plan to do it, what you expect, and all of the underlying motivating factors that may not be apparent to the naked eye. You, all of you in humanity, are motivated by so many things. I'm going to skip around now. Later on in the letter, it says, your intent impacts your attitudes tremendously. As you go about your day, what is your deepest intent? If you show up for a job, for example, are you there to do your best? Are you there to work cooperatively with whomever else is there? Are you present? Is your attention present? Is it your intent to really make a contribution? Are you just passing the time away? Are you just punching a time clock? Are you just doing your hours so you can get your benefits? Are you just tolerating each other? Just tolerating the other individuals with whom you would really rather not work? What is your deepest intent when you go to work? Travel on your spiritual journeys. What is your deepest intent, my children? Are you really searching earnestly for a deeper understanding of our oneness? Are you acknowledging me as the source of all things and turning to me with the understanding that that's what I am? Are you exploring your own experiences for the purpose of letting go of the stories that do not align with the truth of your being? Or are you looking for validations for your own interpretations of your life's experiences? Are you looking for the evidence of just how hard and stressful life can be? Are you walking around angry at what you consider to be injustice, inequalities, or just downright inefficiencies in how the universe operates? What is your deepest intent? Travel this thing called life. It is more important that you clarify your intent than it is that you accomplish your goals. I'm going to say that one again. It is more important that you clarify your intent than it is that you accomplish your goals. It is more important that you allow yourself to be pulled by vision and not pushed by pain. It is more important that you transcend the material facts and understand the bounty of the spiritual universe that is yours. It is important that you rise above and desire for everyone the good that you would seek for yourself. And then it goes on and has a message to us as a nation. It says this is particularly true at this great moment in history. Much is said in the letters appearing in this book about America's deepest intent on a national level, especially regarding global relations. It is imperative that you, individually and collectively as a nation, pause to consider your deepest intent in the world. Are your actions in alignment with your highest values? Are you using your power and your might to create a kinder, gentler, more compassionate and forgiving world? Are you making your best efforts to reconcile with your so-called enemies with the understanding that they are your brothers and sisters in spirit? Is oneness what you seek above all else? Are you willing to move away from paradigms that reinforce divisiveness and separation? Are you ready to be the peace individually and collectively that you desire to see in the world? Is it your desire for every nation to win? When your intent is win-win, when your intent to bless and to be blessed by everything, when your intent is to stretch and to grow, and to be a greater channel of divine goodwill, then your mind will rest and your heart will be at ease. There'll be pep in your step and a new sense of being invigorated. The mysteries of life will be intriguing, not insane. There'll be a resting place within you for divine order. Seek, and ye shall find, yes. But what are you really looking for and why? Your search says more about you than anything else. And the letter ends on that note. Excerpts there. Everybody just breathe.
Hello. Hello, Reverend.
Yes.
I just got some echo going on over here. Could you say a little bit more about it is more important that you clarify your intent than it is to accomplish your goals?
Okay. It isn't really so much about what we do, but why we're doing it. What are we trying to accomplish and why are we doing it? Let's just say I'm trying to get a college degree. If the reason why I'm trying to get a college degree is to try to compete with my sister or to rub it in my father's face, who never contributed to, you know, my education or anything else. If I'm trying to get a college degree because I'm ashamed of being a little black girl in the ghetto, degree is going to be a ticket to whiteness. You know, if any of these things are going on in my head, I may actually get the college degree.
Right.
But it's not going to bring me happiness or satisfaction, because all those underlying things are still going to be eating at me. The college degree can't satisfy that, whatever that hunger is, or that sense of separation, that's not going to happen. Furthermore, life is funny. I just did a social justice event here at my ministry over this past, and we were going over a DVD called The Vocabulary of Change. It was filmed in Berkeley, not too far from here. And it was a conversation between Angela Davis and Tim Weiss, who's one of the foremost authorities on white privilege.
Yes.
He's a white guy. He's really deep. This was their first time together.
Wow.
And it was filmed a couple of years ago. This thing, there was this one thing that Angela said that really struck me. At some point she said, let me give it context. They were talking about the women's movement and things that had or hadn't happened. You know, and this is not my personal commentary. I'm just sharing what she said, so it has a little bit more context. She said, when we were, feminists, and, we were there, pushing for, the doors open and all these other things, she said, we didn't expect Condoleezza Rice. she was like, we didn't expect that. She
wow.
said, now some other good things happened too, but we had no idea that a Condoleezza Rice would, like, rise to the top and benefit from the fruits of our labor.
Mm.
She said what she had learned over time, and this is what she said, it was so profound. She said, is that the revolution that you think you're working for is never the revolution that you achieve.
Mm.
But if you're earnest and essentially have enough intent, there will be revolution.
Mm.
Things will revolutionize, but it may not be the revolution that you thought.
Mm.
If you look at most people's lives, I remember asking one time, I don't know, about a year or so ago, from my pulpit. I said, everybody here in the room who's over the age of 30, for how many of you has life unfolded the way that you thought that it was going to? And then I said, let the record show there are no hands.
I understand.
You know, all those quote-unquote goals, you know, all those things that we thought we were going to do, you know, or thought the way that it was going to be. And it really isn't so much about that. It goals are a destination. And life really isn't about the destination. It's who you become on the journey. It's not the destination. It's who you become on the journey. The goals are just markers that hopefully open you up to possibilities, going for more. The goals become a compass, not a destination. Because for anybody that's done anything in creativity, you start up with one goal, but then it mushrooms. You know, you get into collaboration, this other opportunity comes up, this thing comes up, that thing comes up. You're going to switch your goals all over the place. One of the things that I've done in my life is been an organizational consultant, you know, for many, many years. And a lot of funders require organizations to do strategic planning. Okay? Now, to a certain extent, a lot of times they don't really care that much what your plan is. And rarely do they ever come back and check with you to make sure that you fulfilled the plan that you submitted. Because they know 2, 3, 4, 5 years, life is going to change, things are going to change, and that might make that particular goal, those particular plans, totally irrelevant.
Right.
But what they know is that you become something in the process, that what it's going to take for you as an organization to come together, to think, to dream, to vision, to assess, to prioritize. It's who you become as an organization in the process that they want to see. Because if you can become that, then when life throws you the curveballs and you have to change, it'll be easier for you to change.
Yeah.
Because you've already cultivated the relationships for decision making. Because you've already been taking an earnest look. But it's never about the actual plan. They're always too small. God has always something better than what you can imagine. Cheaper, faster, easier. Around here, our saying is this Lord or something better. Every presentation I ever do about anything always ends with this Lord or something better.
I think of what you're saying, and I definitely get it, because there's a quote which I don't have near me now, and it speaks to something about what you're saying. It's like what you become on your way to achieving your goal is much more important than actually achieving a goal. But I can hear people saying, well, so are you suggesting don't put a lot of effort into the goal? Shouldn't I have a follow-through and be able to make sure it's achieved because the goal is more important?
No, what I'm saying is don't become overly attached. That goes back to the intent. Like, why is it so important that you achieve that goal? Most of our goals are arbitrary. Most of our goals are oftentimes, sometimes even developed out of our neuroses. They're developed out of our fears or our greed or our ego, our insecurities. our, you know, got to prove something. So they come with all that angst. The goals themselves carry energy of anxiety, of fear, worry, not enoughness. You get what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
You know, I got to have this goal to protect myself against this bad thing. I got to accomplish this goal because then I'll know I'm worth something.
Oh.
I got to have this goal because if I don't, I'm going to lose. I got to do this goal to prove so and so's not better than I am. So the goals themselves are tainted.
Huh.
Yeah, you move in the direction of it. I'm not saying that you don't. Of course you do. Because you need to be moving towards something, but just don't have a lot of attachment to it. This is the great paradox of the spiritual journey, where we have to live our lives as though everything is extremely significant and important and not overly attach too much significance or importance to any particular thing.
Right.
It reminds me of that it says, there's only two things to remember. One, don't sweat the small stuff. Two, it's all small stuff.
So don't sweat anything.
Yeah. Mm. And once again, it's that we objectify our goals, where we think that once I reach that goal, that's going to make me something. I'll then be something that I wasn't before. Then that puts pressure for all this external validation. And so often our goals come with scripts for what everybody else has to do in order for us to accomplish our goal. And you know how upset we get when people don't cooperate. They don't even know they have the role, let alone give their consent. We're talking about intent. I'm not saying that goals are not important. It's saying that it's more important that the intent be pure. And it was giving some examples because what happens is that when your intent is pure, even if you make a mistake, it'll turn out all right. And I know you've had that situation. Let's just say somebody says something and it sounds a little racist. Okay? and you're sizing it up and you're feeling the person's heart, you're feeling their intent. You know? If you know in your heart that they didn't know no better, you know, bless their heart. You know, that was just a stupid thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably going to cut him some slack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, might even have a little bit of compassion for him.
Right.
But if they say something that's kind of racist, and you know they intended to go there,
it's a whole different conversation.
It's a whole different conversation. even in our court of law, you talk about goals. It's like a crime isn't just a crime. It's the intent that defines it. You know, the person can be equally dead, but how did they die? You know, did you maliciously plot and plan it? You know, that's one thing. If it wasn't your intent and it was just a genuine accident, that's another. You know, the person's equally dead. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
but the most important thing here in the case actually isn't whether they're dead or not. The final outcome, what's being tried is not their death. What the penalty is going to be levied on isn't the final outcome. The penalty is going to be levied.
You just have a word blow my mind every week. You just like drop a simple truth like poof. I mean, we got someone that you know dearly who wants to make a comment. But just real quick, what you said about if someone is dead, they want to know the intent. Yeah, I mean, I think of the Trayvon Martin case or any other thing. When I am watching it, I'm looking at the fact that someone is dead. That's the only way I look at it. But the things that had happened, history, when we look at the record, is exactly what you said. They want to know, was it intentional? Was it accident? You know, and before, and then whatever the sentence is based on that, not the fact that somebody's dead. And it just consciously never even registered in my head. So that's one thing I'm taking away from this conversation today.
And I bet it would make a big difference. You know, if... Let's just say you have two children and, you know, they're monkeying around.
Uh-huh.
Let's say one's 4 and one's 7. And, you know, they're monkeying around and the 7-year-old pushes the 4-year-old a little too hard while they're playing around, you know, and the 4-year-old slips or trips or something like that. And suffer some injury that turns out to be fatal. Okay, you have two kids here.
Right.
One dead, one alive. And the alive one clearly was the catalyst of the other one's, lethal demise here.
Mm.
What are you going to do with that 7-year-old? Who's in just as much grief.
Right.
And shame. And guilt.
I often say, life is not for wimps, and the spiritual path is for gladiators. And you just, everything you're saying, I'm just kind of thinking about that. But let's bring on the wonderful Leah, who wants to add or maybe ask a question. Hey, Leah, how are you doing?
Hey, Ade. Hi, Rev D. Hi, Celeste. Hey there. Yay. So what came up for me when you were talking about, and we've kind of moved past that, but back to the goals, and it came up for me, like, if I set a goal or I have my intent, that it's not my problem to worry about how I'm going to get there. So I set my intent and I have faith and trust that, you know, God will provide the means. Or, and I think sometimes maybe I set goals that are too small because I get into that place of, how's it going to happen? So,
yeah,
so I think that if my intent is this, then I get to go, I do have to take the steps, do my part, but I don't have to, how I get there, the whole picture could look completely different. And maybe not getting there is, divine order as well. But it's what came up for me with that was a big key part of it was having that faith.
The reason why the intent part becomes important is that so often when we are developing deep intent, I mean, when we are developing our goals, it's not our intent to be blessed by life. It is our intent to control the situation.
To get something.
Yes. That we have already predetermined the who, the what, the when, the where, the how much, the how often, you know, all of that. And when we become too attached to that, then we're not open. We're not open to all of the opportunities that are around us that we couldn't see. We're not open to all of the people who could help us or support us that we haven't even met yet. You know, we're not open to all the things that might make it a richer, you know, better kind of experience.
Yes.
Because we're so fixated on it has to be this way.
I have something in my life that was like that. A little bit more than 7 years ago, I had gone to a seminar where Jack Canfield was speaking, and he talked about, you know, setting your visioning these different areas of your life. And one of the things that I had said was, you know, and he said put dates on it, and by October of this year, I wanted to have another child. And, you know, that's a lot of that out of your control. And so, you know, halfway through that year, and I had suffered another miscarriage, and I looked at that goal, and I thought, well, that's obviously not happening. And end of August, somebody calls me up, and 2 weeks later, I had a baby through adoption that somebody called and said, you know, this person's interested. I heard you're interested. Would you like to meet them? And it just really brought that up to me. Like when there's, because there were other things on that list, obviously, that didn't come through. But one thing I really had faith and that I believed in was having that child.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I'd even gone after that last miscarriage to service on Sunday, and during the meditation was really, you know, in grief and you know, asking. And the message I got loud and clear was, get ready. Mm-hmm. And it was so funny because I went home and I started preparing a nursery, and my mother said, was like, don't tell anybody you're doing that because they're going to think you're crazy. But I made a nursery. And my, you know, and another spiritual counselor told me, do your meditation in there in the morning. And so I had an intent, as impossible as it seemed. And I just had no idea how it was going to happen, and it did.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And it's like, what's the big thing there? I'm reminded of something that happened to me years ago, but it was so vivid. I was a new MBA out of UCLA. And I was in an investment management position with Prudential in Century City, these big, huge, triangular towers that show up a lot in the movies. We're on the 13th floor. Prudential actually owned those towers and that whole square block. So it couldn't have been, I don't know, I don't think it was a good 30 days that I was there, maybe 2 months max. Now you got to remember, this is back in the early 80s. There are no other African American women who are there or in this kind of position, you know, secretarial pool maybe, but certainly not on the investment side. So one of my goals was to look good. Okay? one of my goals was to have everybody think that I was, you know, competent and, wow, you know, do my best and, you know, just be superwoman. You know, that was my goal, right? So couldn't have been more than like 4 or 5 weeks in, I lose my keys.
All
and
right.
It's not just my keys. I lose the keys to the whole Western Regional Office suite as well as the LA office, but because we own the whole million square feet, 500,000 square feet in every tower, the keys that I have are like master keys to everything. So I remember one morning I was looking at one of the New Thought programs, this guy, Dr. Richelieu, Frank Richelieu out of Redondo Beach. This is when I lived in Los Angeles. And he was telling this story about how this woman had shared with him in one of his classes that she had lost her sunglasses in a gutter in Beverly Hills. They had fallen in the street and had fallen in. And that somebody hearing this story in one of the classes worked for the city of water and power or whatnot and actually fished out the glasses and returned them to her.
Wow.
That he had told her, just keep visualizing yourself with the glasses. So I thought, well, I don't know about this stuff. I hadn't taken the classes or whatnot, but that's what I started doing.
Wow.
I just started visualizing. So I made a call to security, and they asked me the lethal question. They said, were your office keys on your ring? Okay, this is my moment of truth, right? Okay, I want to look good, right? I kind of squeak out, yes. Yeah. Yeah. And the next thing I heard was, good. I said, good? He said, yeah. He said, because if your office key is on it, they'll make their way to security, and we can tell by the grooves on the keys which suite they belong to.
Wow.
I said, really? And he said, yeah. I said, okay. So I walked out of the office at lunchtime, and I told the secretary, the receptionist, once again so I could look good, I said, if some keys come here, they will be mine. You don't have to ask or, like, tell anybody kind of thing. If some keys show up, they're mine, and you can just put them on my desk. That is exactly what happened.
Wow.
It turned out I left the keys in the bathroom on the 13th floor. Somehow or another, they got turned in security, went down to the basement, and because I had called, they knew it was my suite. But because I had called, they knew they were my keys. And they brought them back to me.
Wow.
Okay. And I'm just bringing that up to say that that wasn't part of my goal.
But it looked good.
But God has a way of covering your back, even when you mess up, you know, even when it's not working, even when that didn't get done right. See, because it was honest. Do you know my intent? There was nothing malice in my intent in losing those keys.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So because of that, everything is still working for me, even if that particular goal didn't turn out the exact way that I wanted to.
Mm.
If you think of it like child rearing, for example, you know you want your kids to grow up. You know you want them to be healthy and happy and successful. And you can think about certain things that they might be able to do or whatever, even groom them, you know, towards that. But if you have too much attachment to exactly how it's going to be, you know what happens then, right? But it's the same thing with us.
Hmm.
go in the direction. It's a compass. I'm not saying don't go there. Just don't be anal about it.
Right.
Be open. Do what's before you, what you know to do. But yet keep your eyes and ears open for other blessings that God has for you, which you can't see.
And that taps into the surrender that you were talking about earlier at the beginning of the show.
Exactly.
It's like giving up the fight.
Giving up the fight. Giving up the fight. Having in mind that all things are going to work together for good.
Right. And that mindset, consciousness, is cultivated.
Yes.
It's got to be cultivated. That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good break. That's a good place to take a break while that just sinks in. And we'll take a break and we'll continue the conversation. So let's get some announcement.
Yes, I do. Ooh. And I'm also holding a question, but I see everything moving. So, powerful conversation. I love Tuesdays. But, family, I've got some more to tell you about where you can find Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. It feels so good to say that. I know you're really enjoying her, and guess what? She's got opportunities where she is making herself available for you. So get ready to have your own sessions, one-on-one time with Rev D for igniting your passion or to get clarity about your personal, professional, and spiritual growth and development. It's limited to 20 individuals, and the first 5 to register will get a bonus gift, an additional free hour. So reserve your space because this is such a rare opportunity, and I'm pretty sure it's filling up. But for more information, please contact her wonderful assistant, Leah Simone Reed. That's S-I-M-O-N-I Reed, R-E-E-D, at gmail.com. Or you can call her at 831-465-9090, extension 204. You're also welcome to keep your eyes out for the next We Circulate, an adventure in abundance. You can join this powerful webinar as she explores prosperity principles and our natural abundance. That usually takes place on Thursdays at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. So for more information, go to innerlightministries.com/wecirculate-welcome. To find out more about Rev D, you can also go to her website at deborahjohnson.org, or you can check out innerlightministries.com. Hope you got all that. I will be putting it in the chat room, and we'll be right back after these brief messages.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
I'm tired of running from my life.
Hello, family. I'm Celeste Morgan, host of The Celestial Show, and I want to invite each and every one of you to join me on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern to receive divine messages through tarot, numbers, and my intuition. Break out to the other side with laughter and information you can use to get the life you truly want to live. Remember, That's every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern on LifeConversationsRadio.com. I'll see you there.
I am Ade Anifowoshe, also known as Life Coach Ade, host of Soul Food for Your Consciousness. I am here to support you in transforming fear to love. As a light being, it is your nature to transform energy. This is why it is important to feed and listen to your soul. When you do, you are empowered to dance with life, with understanding and compassion. Are you willing to dance with life differently? Join me every Tuesday, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way you dance and listen to your soul.
Join Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Ade for Ancestral Blueprints at 12 p.m. Eastern on the last Wednesday of the month. Learn how the unacknowledged truths in your ancestral blueprints may still be influencing your life today, and how to bring awareness to the truths that want to be acknowledged. Join Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Ade, 12 p.m. Eastern, every last Wednesday of the month on Life Conversations Radio.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
We are welcoming back to Living in the Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. Now, the other shows that we want to tell you about on Monday, you can catch Life Coach Ade on the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show at noon Eastern time.
You got a question, right, okay, for Reverend D, Dr. D.
Dr. D, yes, I do. And the question is that there are people who, person wrote, that they are not liking what they're manifesting in their life right now, mm-hmm, and are starting to wonder about their intent. Mm-hmm. Can you provide some practical steps of what we need to do to start over when what we're manifesting isn't in alignment with our true intentions?
Well, it's a tricky one. So I have to answer it at a couple of levels. One, we can't always judge by the appearances. There's a spiritual paradox that happens, which is that once we set up a real intent, then everything unlike it has to come up to be healed. So sometimes when our intent is very strong, it can look like our life is going in the opposite direction. For example, if I set a real intent to be unconditionally loving, most people think that I'm asking for bliss. But if I set an intent to be unconditionally loving, what I am really doing is writing a ticket to become intimately familiar with every condition I have ever put on loving. Because the only way to become unconditionally loving is to work through my conditions. So to the outer, it can look like, what is all this chaos? I'm trying to be unconditionally loving, so what's this old stuff creeping up in here? you know, why are you in my face with all this nonsense? You know, I'm trying to be unconditionally loving. You know, why is this happening? We say we want our finances cleared up. Sometimes it looks like it gets worse before it gets better. You know, the body temple does that. Before it just jumps into healing, it could get pussy or scabby or bruised. It didn't always look pretty on the way to healing. So I have to have whoever is asking the question to really just look inside and ask themselves, is what's going on in their life actually answered prayer, even though it may not look like it? And that's a resonance. That's all I can say. Mm-hmm. That if you really just ask yourself, shoot, is this what I prayed for? But didn't know that that's what I was praying for. There's just a little something inside that lets you know that this is just a part of the process. Mm. So if you find yourself in that situation, then the thing to do is to stop being judgmental. The thing to do is to just keep claiming whatever that is. I love unconditionally. I love unconditionally. And whatever it takes for me to love that unconditionally, so be it. So be it.
Yeah.
But you're still keeping your eye focused on that goal. So that's one thing. And I wanted to say that because we don't often hear this. You know, people don't often tell us that it could be that you actually are doing your deepest intent. I tell people all the time, don't be all spiritually mighty judging folks, because you don't know what you're looking at. People get sick when they aren't dealing with their stuff. People get sick when they are. And you can't tell from the outside what's really going on. And only you know from the inside. So that's one thing. Is be hasty before you judge what's going on as bad when it may just be part of the process. That's one. However, if you are really sure beyond a shadow of a doubt, like really sure, that you keep like manifesting the same old stuff that you really don't want, then yes, it is time to check out your intent. What I would say in that vein is pain pushes until vision pulls. Pain pushes until vision pulls. When we're busy manifesting a lot of stuff we don't want, our attention quite often goes to what we don't want.
Mm-hmm.
We're spending so much time resisting it, and what you resist persists. We're spending so much time fighting it, so much time trying to get rid of it, so much time judging it, that we're actually energizing it by our attention.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually blowing life into it. You know, our very breath of life, our nefesh, breathed into us in the beginning. That we're breathing life into our problems sometimes with our words, with our actions, with our attention. So if you're really not manifesting what you want to manifest, then what you want to manifest needs to get more of your attention. It needs to get more of your attention. That's what you need to speak. Images of that need to be plastered everywhere. Your conversations need to reflect that. The people you are hanging out with need to reflect that. The things that you were reading and listening and blogging about and searching for, you know, when you're Googling stuff around and whatnot, needs to be in alignment with where you say you want to go. That's what happens with most of us. That's what's there. It would be the same as if I was going into recovery. And if and it's all stages, and anybody who's in recovery knows this, that if my attention is always on not drinking, I'm always going to have a struggle with alcohol. At some point, the attention has to go from not drinking to being sober, living a life of sobriety, as opposed to just trying not to drink. And that's how we wind up doing in our lives a lot of times. It's as though we're going around just trying not to drink. But when you're just trying not to drink, you're manifesting constantly the circumstances, the people, whatever, so that you can play that out.
Mm-hmm.
To be tested on not drinking. As opposed to, I'm sober. I'm not even around it anymore. The people I'm around don't drink.
Mm-hmm. And on that note, Reverend D, you have had another powerful show. And I advise people to go ahead and listen again and share it with all your friends and be back here next Tuesday when she shows us, she as in Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson, shows us how to release. That's the next spiritual quality coming up. And Rev D, is there anything you want to say before you bounce out of the out of
I'm
moment
good.
In your life to the next one?
You know, I'm good.
Beautiful.
Definitely.
Well, you stay here.
I appreciate everybody coming on and listening and all of the people and all of their comments. And I want to encourage people to listen to the archives. Go back. Listen frequently. Invite people to listen. Because no matter how much you're hearing in the moment, as you digest a little bit, you'll get something more second, third time go around.
The seasoning settles in. Be blessed,
thank you, Reverend D.
And thank you, Ms. Leah, amazing executive assistant. We family are gonna go to the land of I Am with Ricky Byers Beckwith. And earlier in the show, we started out with Cynthia James. And that's CynthiaJames.net. And you can find Ricky Byers Beckwith on her website, rickybb.com, or agapelive.com. So, looking forward to seeing you all on Life Conversations Radio Network. We love you.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.